are so excited to welcome you to Gather Scattered. We are Jordan, Ryan, and Rachel. We are three friends who love to talk about Jesus. In these first two episodes, we want y'all to get to know us better and understand the purpose behind this project. So in this episode, we will be explaining the meaning behind the name Gather to Scatter. We must gather well to scatter well. We'll laugh, we'll cry, we'll definitely be weird. But our hope is that we will encourage you to scatter well alongside of us with a solid foundation on scripture. So we're here. We made it. This is so fun.
Fun is right.
Oh, great movie.
I know.
We should watch that soon. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Tarzan?
Mm. Oh. Oh, Tarzan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. We'll watch it. Okay. Man. So like we said, we're three friends. And we...
We've never watched Tarzan together.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently not.
Apparently we will do it. But we met through our church. And we've known each other. Rachel and I have known each other for... Well, we've been friends.
We've been friends for like a year and a half. We've known each other for like 2 years.
Yeah. But we were very skeptical of each other at the beginning because no new friends.
Yeah.
But a mutual friend introduced us, said, you guys live near each other. You should be friends. And we went, okay. Ooh. Didn't happen for about 6 more months. the same friend then met Mariah and brought her into our friend group. And it has just been very fun. We're very thankful. The Lord's been good.
Always.
Yeah. So one thing that we love about our church is that it focuses on the purpose of gathering as believers and the fact that doing that truly equips us to go out into the world, because there's just something about being with your brothers and sister in Christ, with fellow Christians, that is life-giving. Even if what we're talking about isn't scriptural things, it is just very special to be together, whether it is in the community, in the workplace, in the church. And that has been a huge blessing to the three of us. So, yeah.
What do you guys think? Should we tell them what Gather to Scatter means?
I think we should tell them.
I mean, I'm curious.
Okay.
Welcome to the conversation.
But for real, let's break it down. We'll start with gather, move on to scatter.
Yep.
As Jordan mentioned, our church focuses on the importance of gathering, as I think most churches should.
Yeah. Yeah.
If yours doesn't,
find a new one.
Come to ours.
Do as Paul says to Timothy, flee.
Flee. But no, all jokes aside, the saints are meant to gather together. We're meant to gather together regularly. We're meant to gather together regularly and encourage one another. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so much behind that meaning within scripture. Mm-hmm. And one thing we really want to do within this project, this podcast, is to bring scripture to life.
Yeah.
Within every episode. Mm-hmm. Make sure we're touching base back to the Bible. Mm-hmm. The Bible is true. The Bible is our foundation.
Yeah.
It is everything. So we want to make sure we are incorporating it within every episode.
For sure.
So with that being said, we find evidence of the gathering and the scattering within scripture. So we're going to go through a few verses with you. So with that in mind, Jordan, take it away, girl.
Yeah. So Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So in this passage, the writer, historically attributed to the Apostle Paul, he is addressing his audience concerning Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And so he brings their attention to Christ's sacrifice being one sacrifice for all, meaning that it is sufficient for all people, but is only efficient for those who put their faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so verses 24 and 25, he moves specifically to encourage his readers that in light of that truth, what Christ has done for us, we should pursue community with the people of God.
Yep.
We gather to receive something from God and to give something to him, and we're encouraging one another when we do it. And so when we're doing that, we bless one another when we're working alongside each other for the sake of the gospel. And one of the things I love about our church is that when we are worshiping, when we are singing together, it's beautiful music. It's a beautiful time, but we can hear one another. And I had never been a part of a church where that was true. Not saying it's wrong if you can't, but it has been such a blessing to, like, if you stop singing and you just hear all the people around you as well as the people who are on stage. Mm-hmm. It's just encouraging to hear people worshiping our Savior. So I love that about our church.
Especially when they have beautiful voices.
Yeah.
Like our angel-voiced angel.
Jordan voice.
Our angel-voiced angel. Jordan.
Angel-voiced angel. Wow. Thanks, guys. So nice.
So I'm going to now go on to Matthew. Mm-hmm. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Mm-hmm. I love this one for many reasons. There is assurance in this verse. Mm-hmm. And that assurance is coming from his people, the Lord's people. He is making sure we know that the gatherings don't need to be big. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be big to be strong.
Yeah.
The three of us, mm-hmm. we're here, we're small, but with his help, we're going to be mighty. Yeah. He's not a slave of numbers. He mm-hmm. is just as strongly present within little gatherings as yeah. he is, you know, within your church gathering, a bigger mm-hmm. crowd of people. Yes. Two or three individuals here in particular are mentioned, not to encourage the absence. He's not saying like, oh, you only need two or three people here. It's fine. Yeah. Like, no, we still need to go to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We still need to be in big community. But he is making sure he's cheering on the faithful few.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Large numbers are not essential. Mm-hmm. The rank of people is not essential. The particular place is not essential. The particular time is not essential. The particular form, the meeting should not take or the meet. The particular form the meeting should take place is not essential.
Hi, I'm best.
Hallelujah. What is essential is meeting in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I think so many times we forget that.
Mm-hmm.
We do. Last but honestly maybe even more my favorite part of all this than the assurance that he's with us even in small numbers mm-hmm. is the reminder of his omnipresence.
Yeah.
No one else can be in the midst of us mm-hmm. always, mm-hmm. wherever, small, big. Mm-hmm. He is present with yeah. us always, everywhere, mm-hmm. all the time.
Well, and how wonderful to think about. So on Sundays, whenever we worship, yes, God is with us, but he's also with the church down the street. And it really yeah. just connects us as a body.
Yeah.
I love that so much because it's when we are there and worshiping and hearing our brothers and sisters sing, at the same time, God is also with the church in the country where the church is underground.
Yeah.
And there's only three of them there. And they're opening their Bible and they're just singing a song that from the Psalms.
Yeah.
And God is with them too, because yeah. he is with all of us. I love that.
No, and I feel like cool. that's something we know, but we don't sit with a lot.
Yeah.
I remember the first time that I heard someone pray in a different language, obviously God knows all the languages, but I don't think about that.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was working for a summer camp and I don't even remember why, but we were like behind the lunchroom and probably taking out trash. Who knows? Summer camp is weird. But there was a man who was just visiting that was friends with one of the directors and we were praying in a circle and he started praying in Spanish and I lost it. Mm-hmm. I just wept. Because it was the first time I had actually considered that. Like, mm-hmm. he is omnipresent and not everyone speaking English, duh, Jordan. Like, we know that.
Yeah.
But I hadn't thought about it. Like, yeah. how beautiful is it that people all around the world, every tribe, every tongue, every mm-hmm. nation is worshiping our God?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's good.
It's wild.
Oh, my gosh.
That is good. Can we also just go back for a second? How yeah. Jordan said...
What did I say?
Taking out the trash at summer camp is weird.
Weird things happen there. I don't know.
Why is it weird,
though? Why is taking out the trash weird? Because that wasn't our job. So, like, I don't know why we were doing that. We weren't on lunch duty that week. Leave me alone.
Jordan's like, weird things happen at summer camp. I took out the trash that year.
Not that year. Wow. Made me sound like such a jerk.
And the Lord said she will take out the trash this year.
For the whole year. That's awesome. I did.
That's amazing.
Weird things.
It wasn't my job that week. Weird. I don't know why we were behind the lunchroom. It was a weird place to gather. Leave me alone. Let's talk about God.
Well, the verse that I really got into for this section that we're going through is 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 through 11. And it says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Yeah. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I just think it's so beautiful. So in scripture, there's over 100 passages about encouraging one another and lifting each other up. This one in particular is talking about the day of the Lord. Or the second coming of Christ, which I cannot wait for. And the hope that we have in him as believers. So we know, like what you were saying, like we know we're in this world. Like we live our daily lives. We take out the trash at summer camp and
we're going to live there.
It's awesome. We do these daily mundane things. And then we also experience real hardship here. Like we experience the fallen and broken world that we live in. But our home is not here. So we're meant to be in this world and work to glorify him while we're here. But our future and our eternity is with our Savior. It lies in him. It's so easy to just think about where we are and not think about eternal focus and not think about why God has us here where we are. But then when I talk to y'all about everything that's going on at work or my frustrations with people, drivers, family, any of that, I love talking about those things with my sisters in Christ because you point me back to him. And it's not just a time where we sit in our own, oh, this is terrible. And then it's an echo chamber of, you're right, it's terrible. And this is awful. And you should think this. And it's okay. Yes, these feelings are valid. What you're going through is real. What does the Lord say about it? And that is so great about gathering with believers is when we point each other back to Christ. It puts it in perspective.
That's good. And it has a certain accountability to it that if we weren't gathering, it's so easy to get lost.
Oh my gosh.
It's so easy to slip into some even like massive church and go in the back and have your own little personal worship and leave. Like it's easy to do that. If you're not known, how are you truly growing? How are you being held accountable? If it's your own personal conviction, that's not going to do it every time. Obviously, we are fallen people. We are sinful people. We need the Holy Spirit, but we need other people because you guys know me and you love me and you have a place in my life. You have that relational equity to be like, Joe, this is not good. And I need that. I don't want that. But I need that. And we all do because we have blind spots to ourselves. So if other people aren't looking in, we're never going to see them.
I'm going to get on a little soapbox for a moment.
Soapbox.
And we're going to have a little button.
Soapbox. Maybe that'll be a whisper thing.
Soapbox time. It's soapbox time. I really think that our generation in particular has really struggled with, yes, we're connected, but we're so isolated. And we've made an excuse, oh, I can watch church on Sunday from my couch and it's the same. And it's not, because yes, like you can be in the word and the Lord values that. Like he wants you to be in his word by yourself. He wants you to worship him in an individual way, but he tells us to be with each other. And it's such a disservice to us when we don't go to church, when take the excuse of, well, COVID made church available for everyone via the internet. And so that's what I'm going to do because I don't want to get up the extra 30 minutes early to take a shower. And I'm guilty of it myself, but it's so, I love that our church puts an emphasis on being together in person.
Yeah, being seen. My, probably like 2 years ago, I hadn't seen someone at church in a long time. I didn't know they had left and come back, not like left the church, but left Atlanta and come back. And I remember seeing him. I was like, it's so great to see you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, man, it's good to be seen. I was like, yes.
Wow.
That's good. Like, yeah, it is good to be seen. Like when you walk into a room, you're looking for people who are looking for you. Mm-hmm. It's good to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And how great is it to be seen by your brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm.
What a blessing.
Amen.
Love it.
Amen to that. Well, there's some scripture on scatter.
There is.
Mm-hmm.
There sure is.
I think there's even more on gathering. Wait.
The other way around. There's some scripture on gathering. Now on.
We
to the scatter.
Well, that was some good scripture on gathering.
That was great.
I think there might be more on scattering.
Ah, oh, I think you're right.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Yes. Oh, the edit button.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Or just like all of our mouth noises, whatever we want.
I know.
What?
It's so true. I feel like my dyslexia is like really on point too with this for some reason. I keep saying a word. And in my head, I'm like, that was not the right order.
When you hear someone's name, do you spell it in your head and then try to remember who that person is?
Absolutely not.
Never mind the face you just made. Absolutely not.
Do you, Rachel?
No.
Oh, okay.
I do.
Okay, Jordan.
So you hear someone's name and you're like, L-M-N-O-P.
I literally will spell their name. My sister was asking me about a friend. And there are multiple ways to spell the name. And she was like, yeah, you know. And I spelled it wrong in my head. I was like, I don't know them. She was like, she's one of your best friends. I was like, what? And it took a minute. Anyways, scripture.
Okay.
Was it Rachel or Mariah?
Neither. None of the above.
Both of those can be misspelled.
Don't worry. They sure can. Oh, my gosh. All right. So, to scatter effectively. We see in Matthew 5:13. Scripture says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Man. So Matthew 5 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus speaks about the Beatitudes, which describe how the saved live and grow. And so he ends these Beatitudes by drawing attention to the assurance that the saints will face persecution for his sake. Mm-hmm. It will happen. It will happen for his sake. But immediately after that, he explains that his followers should be like salt. And so for context, we love context. Salt was very precious. It was very valuable. It was used to preserve meat. It was used to slow down decay. And it was even used as payment to Roman soldiers. So that's where he's worth his salt comes from. And it adds flavor, obviously, when we use it as a seasoning. We love salt.
Mm.
Do we ever? Do we ever? It's great.
What'd you say?
Flavor.
Oh, flavor. Salve. Shout out.
Oh. And so what Jesus is saying here is that we should be influencing the world in this way. We should be bringing flavor. We should be preserving. We should be doing this as Christian people.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this, R.T. France in his commentary. He said, disciples, if they are true to their calling, they make the earth a purer and more palatable place.
Mm. It's beautiful.
I love that.
I love a palate.
Me too.
So, some of y'all may have heard Jordan use the word Beatitudes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I read that on our show notes here. In my head, I said, Beatitudes.
Beatitudes.
Drop the beat, Joe. Drop the beat. But there was no beat that followed, so I was a little confused.
Yep.
And then this girl went and said, Beatitudes. Can you, for the yes. 101 learners over here.
Yes.
Shout out. Can you tell us a little bit more about Beatitudes?
Yes. So,
not to be mistaken with Beatitudes.
We're not dropping beats.
No, we're not. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching about what it means to live as a child of God and how to live in his kingdom. And so there are 8 Beatitudes. And so he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So he goes through these 8 Beatitudes and it's helping people to understand, like, I am to be gentle. I am to be meek. I am to mourn, and I know I will be comforted by God. And so it's walking through real life things that we are going to face and how we are to respond as Christians. And there are a lot of them. There are 8 of them.
You mean to tell me you don't want to go through all 8 right now?
Yeah, I will. Let me pull it up.
How much time does everybody have?
Matthew 5:2. And he began to teach them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Man, those all hit.
They do.
But that last one, like, hi, let's gather with our people. Yeah. Because the world is going to hate you.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Because of God. Yeah. Like, he says it. He just goes out and says it.
He knows.
We love Jesus. He just says the things.
Yeah.
He does. He doesn't put punches. He said, of course. But it's truth. And it's hard. It's not always easy. Oh, man.
No, it's not. I love the Bible. Man.
I love the Bible.
I do.
Shout out, Bible.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing it down. Thank you for the 101 lesson.
Beatitudes 101.
For the Beatitudes.
With Jordan, Mariah, and Rachel.
Love it.
Not with me.
Spinoff podcast coming soon.
I'm here for the lesson plan, man. Oh, man.
Okay. Next one. Matthew. I'm living in Matthew.
I was like, we're in Matthew tonight.
Living in Matthew.
I mean, literally, you should live in Matthew. Yeah. Okay. Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.
Mic drop. She dropped her mic for those of you who don't see us.
How long have you been looking forward to doing something like that? Y'all, I just came up with that. I feel so good about that. In my head, I was like, mic drop. And I was like,
I actually dropped the mic.
I have one to drop.
Dream realized.
Oh my God.
Wow. Amazing.
Wow. What a time.
Holy guacamole.
Okay.
Love it.
Back to Jesus. Back to Jesus.
But thank you, Jesus, for like making me so funny. Yes, oh my gosh.
I think about that all the time. I'm like, God has the best sense of humor because the people who I think are the funniest, he made.
It's true.
Like, we don't have to be stoic all the time. There is a time to laugh.
I feel like so many people mistake God for that too. They think he's mean, or they think like they're like, where's his humor?
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't have a true understanding of God.
Have you seen a platypus?
Yeah. Like, what?
That is humor.
Oh, like,
where is his humor? Look around. Goodness.
Platypus?
Like, yeah, they're not funny looking.
You don't think they're... I think they're pretty cute.
Well, they are, but they're weird. They're funny.
Imagine a platypus taking out trash.
Oh my gosh, however weird is that?
But taking out trash at summer camp.
Ooh.
Nothing's weirder than that.
The weirdest.
So how about Matthew?
So true. Okay. How about it?
Love Matthew.
Okay. Jesus' authority guides us and empowers us, and here he is commanding us to go.
to go and make disciples. Not a convert or a supporter, but a follower, a scholar, a learner. Reminder, this is a reminder. Disciples are made.
Yeah.
It is a process.
Yeah.
Through the power of spreading his word.
Mm-hmm.
Through the power of spreading Christianity.
Yeah.
Anywhere, anytime, to anyone, to everyone.
Yeah.
Followers of Jesus have a responsibility. Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility to spread the gospel. We must teach all things that Jesus has commanded us through words, but also with the power of the Holy Spirit who is with us until the end of age.
Praise God.
We are not scattering alone.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Like, never.
I am not by myself, even when you guys are right next to me.
Yeah.
We all three have the Holy Spirit within us.
Even if you don't believe in Jesus, that Holy Spirit knows everything you are about to do.
Yeah.
Whether you want to believe it or not.
Yeah. And you're invited.
You are invited. You're
invited into relationship with him. What a blessing. We want
you to come. He wants you to come. Yeah. I mean, we want you to come.
Yeah.
This is why we're doing this, but we don't even compare to how much he wants you to come.
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Rejoice. So we're not scattering alone. Our Father promised to be a constant presence.
Yeah.
With that presence comes privilege, working for it and with Jesus.
Yeah.
Protection. We are never out of his sight. Power. Mm. We work in his name as we fulfill this great command.
Yeah.
And peace. Reminder that the church belongs to Jesus.
I love that.
This is his work.
Yeah.
We are spreading his word. But ultimately, this is his. Mm. We are his.
Yeah. It is our choice daily to allow him to work through us. It is his work. And I mean, every day, like becoming a Christian is not, oh, I prayed this prayer or I believe in God and now I'm going to go on my merry way. No, it is in every single day. How can I get to know my Savior better? He is my Lord. He is my Savior. How can I enter further into relationship with him? And there are resources, there are tools, there are things that we have at our disposal so that we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is gathering so that when we scatter, we don't feel alone because we're not promised that we're going to feel the Holy Spirit all the time. Sometimes we might feel alone or lonely.
I mean, that was David in all the Psalms.
Oh my gosh,
Lord,
yes.
Where have you gone?
Yeah.
Like, I'm in a cave by myself. Mm-hmm. Did you despise me?
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, he wasn't alone even then.
Woman of the Word, Jen Wilkins.
Yeah.
I have this highlighted in the book. I think it was, I read this sentence when I was still calling myself a Christian. I certainly did not love the Lord yet. Really wanted to. Could not get there. And I read this sentence and I was like, okay, Mariah, give yourself some grace. It takes a minute. Yeah. That's okay. The heart cannot love what the mind does not know.
Mm. Yeah.
My mind had no idea what God was.
I love that.
And I was always so hard on myself. So I'm like, why do I not love him the way that all these other people are loving him? I didn't know him.
Yeah.
You know, it's so different. You think you know him until you open.
Yeah.
You open this thing up and you're like, I still don't know. I mean, you're going to go through the Bible for your whole life and you're still going to not even touch the surface on what God can do, who God is.
Well,
but you'll know him
better.
We're going to spend an eternity getting to know him more, worshiping him more, finding out new amazing things about him.
He is that infinite.
Yeah. It's wild.
And imagine not gathering.
Yeah.
Imagine
yeah.
not gathering with other.
Yeah.
With other Christians.
I mean, we get to know him more through each other.
Well, we've seen that in studying the Bible because we study using the Women of the Word method, and it is us doing it on our own because we have a responsibility. We are active participants in our growth. And then we come together and we're talking about the same five words and there's three different things. It's like, oh, this made me think about this. This made me think about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same interpretation,
mm-hmm.
but we are drawing different experiences from our lives and stirring one another up as we're supposed to do.
Man, it's good. So just a reminder, don't be hard on yourself.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, but truly, like,
we will forever be learning about God, and that is okay. Mm-hmm. But you do have to
start.
Yeah, you have to start. You have to know Him.
Oh my gosh.
You have to know Him, or you will never be able to fully love Him.
Most important and best decision you can make.
Yeah, absolutely. Hands down.
It is. Mm-hmm. It just is.
Yeah.
Man.
We're inviting you.
Yeah.
Please. Come on.
She's waving at the camera for those of you who cannot see.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Thank you, Angel. Just like my whole comment. I keep forgetting. I'm like, oh yeah, this is people are not. I like when you like
talk to only the audio. Hello, everyone. This is what she is doing. It's like a different Rachel voice, and I love it. So we are going to step away from Matthew for a moment, and we're going to go into John 17, 14 through 19. And it says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Yeah. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Mm. So, I mean, this is honestly just a kind of a continuation of what we were just talking about. Yeah. We're going into the world because Christ has commanded us to.
Yeah.
Christ has told us that we are to go into the world. Mm-hmm. We are promised that they will not like us. They will despise us. They will hate us. But when this was Christ praying to the Father for the believers, he didn't ask God to remove us from the world, or to spare us from hardships, but that God would protect us from the evil one. He asked that the Lord keep us from the moral corruption that Satan tries to lure us into. Mm-hmm. And so he sends us into the world as he was sent into the world, to be a light in the darkness. It's so tempting to want to isolate ourselves in a Christian bubble and just surround ourselves with people who are like us, and it's comfortable to be around. Yeah. And that is wonderful. It is good. Like we were saying earlier, we need to gather. We need to be encouraged by fellow believers.
Yeah.
And then we need to take that out. So this is a continuation of the Great Commandment. While we are encouraged together and we're supposed to gather, it is such a blessing that God uses us to draw people. He uses us to say, come on.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Rachel's waving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm waving. because he could literally use anything. He could.
Oh, he does not need us.
Yeah. Luke 19:40 says that the rocks will cry out in praise to him. He chooses to use us to bless us.
Yeah.
It is such a blessing to be able to go into our workplaces. It's a blessing to go into the grocery store and strike up a conversation with a clerk and share, be ready with a response for the joy that is in your heart.
Yeah.
And I cannot remember what verse that is off the top of my head, but that is it. And it's, we have something that is wonderful, and we get to share it with others. Mm-hmm. So, and he chooses to use us also because his strength is exhibited through our weakness and our frailty. Mm-hmm. So we were talking earlier about how, like, he will be in where there's only a group of three. Numbers don't matter to him. And it's his strength and his power is shown through the inability of his people to do anything apart from him.
What an honor.
It's so beautiful that he uses the weak to shame the strong. He uses the innocent young children to shame the wise things of this world. And it's so beautiful because he doesn't use the expected.
Yeah.
He uses us.
Makes me think of Luke 2 when Mary and Joseph couldn't find Jesus. And then they went back and he was like,
Didn't you know
that I would be in my father's house?
I'd be there.
And like, he's not being sassy. He's just like, where else would I be? Where
else would I be? I like to think he had a little sass.
Of course
he
did.
He for sure had a little sass.
I mean,
Okay. Understandably so.
Okay. Go that way with it. No, but it's such an honor that he chooses to use us. Like,
it is.
One of my favorite testimonies from our church is, this is back before, way before we even had a building. There was a girl who Googled churches in Atlanta, found our church, came, joined. And when people were like, oh, how did you become a believer? She was like, I read the book of John. Like she, I don't know how she had a Bible, but like we live in the South. People just have Bibles. That's a normal thing. She was like, I just read it.
Yeah.
Fell in love with Jesus. Figured I should find a church. Not one person was used.
Wow.
Like the Bible is living and active. That's not just something people say. That is a true fact. And yeah. It is a blessing that he doesn't need us.
Yeah.
And he still chooses to use us. What an honor.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, it's good.
Well, and it also takes, we do not change hearts. Mm. There is no pride in it for us.
Oh, no.
We do not have the power to save one person. We don't have the power to save ourselves.
Can you imagine that responsibility?
No.
No.
And, but it takes the pride out of it, and it takes the pressure off of it. Mm-hmm. Like our job and our responsibility is to relay the gospel. Our job and our responsibility is to tell people that Christ came and lived a perfect life that they could not live in order to reconcile them to a Father who was wholly righteous. Mm-hmm. And then he died for their sins, and he was the perfect sacrifice because of his life. And on the third day, he defeated sin and death and rose.
Yeah.
And is continuing to sit at the right hand of the Father in intercession for us.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing that that is the message we get to give the world.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It is. Yeah.
So, want to conclude this introductory episode for
Do
you.
Do we have to?
Well, we've got a little bit, but this is our why. So we found that in our friendship through accountability, small groups, and just doing life with each other, that the conversations that we're having daily are so encouraging.
Yeah.
They allow us to be vulnerable with each other. Mm-hmm. And that acts as a salve to the wounds that may not be visible to the world.
Yeah.
I am not alone in what I'm struggling with and what I'm experiencing. I have friends who love me and will point me to scripture for encouragement and instruction. Mm-hmm. What we want to do with this podcast is create a community that encourages this type of friendship.
Yeah.
A place where we talk openly about topics that are affecting the world around us and how we are looking at them through a biblical lens.
None of us are in this alone. And I think about all the times, like James specifically, that I've studied James and then taught James and then learned something new the next time I studied it. And I'm like, well, I got to go back and tell the people I taught that I missed some stuff. One of my favorite memories from one of the elders at our church, when he was preaching, he had the opportunity to preach on the same passage a second time. Ugh. And from the pulpit, he said, man, I'm so excited to have the opportunity to do this again because I didn't get all of it last time. And now I have the opportunity to do it justice. And like, what humility to come back to the church and say like, man, I missed it. Mm-hmm. I missed something and I get to tell you about it. And like the eagerness and the joy to do that. Mm-hmm. And so we want to do our homework and we want to make sure that the things that we are saying and sharing are not our opinions, but are true of scripture. And if we get it wrong, we have people to tell us like, you missed it.
Yeah.
And then we get to come back to you guys and be like, hey, it's us. We have the opportunity to come back and say, man, we got this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we learned.
Yeah.
Because we're still learning and we want y'all to learn with us. So
it's forever.
We will
literally
forever be learning.
Eternity.
Wow. Which is really cool.
So excited.
Really cool.
Man. Wow. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for gathering with us, for listening to Gather to Scatter. Next week, we're going to open up more about who we are and why testimonies are important. It's going to be fun. But you can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just search Gather to Scatter. Subscribe, like, and follow below. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Woo.